For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. Today we present part one of a message given by Pastor Holland entitled, Don't Put Out the Fire. Have you ever been in a relationship where familiarity turned into something that would be described as rather mundane? Pastor Holland challenges us this morning to maintain our passion in living a Christian life. Turn with us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 as we begin.
I want to talk to you today about a fire that the Bible calls the Holy Spirit of God. When a person gets saved, they're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And in many places in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is referred to as a fire. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Holy Spirit is described as a spirit of judgment and burning. John the Baptist preached that Jesus would come and baptize the true believers with Holy Ghost and with fire. In Matthew 3:11, when the saints of God were baptized with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon them in tongues of fire in Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. And literally, the Holy Spirit is a sanctifying ministry of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer that illustrates to us what God is trying to do. Now today, you and I probably don't understand it as much as others have, but in the past, they used to have what was called the blacksmith. And in order for the blacksmith, and I'm sure there's still processes today that work the same way, but oftentimes he would take, and in order to purify what he had, he would melt it down, get the impurities off, and that's exactly what God is doing in our life. God's purpose today is to purify us and to make us what he wants us to be. The Bible said in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify and to himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. The Spirit is an agent of purification. He said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Fire is a means by which the Holy Spirit purifies us and brings us to the place that we need to be. In Psalm 66:10, for thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. In Proverbs 17:3, the finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. A fire among us today can be dangerous or helpful. I'm talking about the fire of the Holy Spirit of God. How can it be dangerous? Well, I believe it can be dangerous when it's ignored. I believe this fire will accomplish little in our lives when we do not understand that we are indwelt by the Spirit of God and that God's Spirit lives in us and indwells in us. Second of all, if we respect the fire, if we respect the Holy Spirit, it will draw us closer to Him and make us more Christ-like. And after all, isn't that the goal that God has for each and every one of us in order that we might walk in His will and obey His word? But the sadness of all of this, if the Holy Spirit is quenched, and I want you to understand today, you may be saved and you may have the Holy Spirit of God, but the Holy Spirit of God may be quenched in your life. And if you quench the Holy Spirit of God, then I want you to understand that it'll no longer be in your midst. Now understand me clearly, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit never departs from you. But if you quench the Holy Spirit, you push it down so far and so far away that God is not able to, well, God's able to do what He wants to do, but He will not work through and in you if you quench the Holy Spirit of God. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of don't put out the fire. I tell you today, there ought to be a fire burning in our bosom today. It ought to be a fire and a desire like we've never had before in order that we might allow God to work in our lives to bring us to the place that we need to be. that we may be Christ-like. And not only be Christ-like, but that we might be understanding of what God wants to do in our lives. I believe today what we're going to see, my outline is going to be simple. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to find the recipients of who Paul is writing to. They're believers, and we're going to be looking at that in just a moment. But I want you, if you would, to read with me, beginning in verse number 16. He said, "Rejoice evermore." He said, "Pray without ceasing. In every thing give thanks, for this is the will of God, even in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." The first thing I want you to notice with me today is the recipients, a word about the recipients to whom Paul is writing. Again, as I told you today, my outline is very simple. We're going to look at the recipients who are receiving the message, and then we're going to look at the requirements that I believe God expects in each and every one of our lives in order to keep the fire burning. First of all, the book of 1 Thessalonians was written to those that were living in the town of Thessalonica. Paul writes to them, encouraging them in the faith in the Lord, but he warns them to avoid traps that can hinder them and yea, even cause them to fall or trip and be ensnared by the devil. As we approach these verses, we understand, obviously, these people who he's speaking to are believers in Christ. This morning, I don't know what your position is, but I hope today you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'll be speaking today primarily to believers who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indwelt by that fire, the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray today that God will speak to your heart. But friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you need to accept Him and allow the Holy Spirit to come into your heart and live inside of you in order that you might do what He would have you to do. Now, while he writes these commands and counsels to these, and they can have an individual focus. Somebody said he wrote that to the church of Thessalonica. I believe today that the Word of God can be an extension not only to the people that he wrote to, but even to the church of our day, those of us who are saved by the grace of God. We're saved the same way. Once we get saved, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit, that fire burning inside of us. At least I pray that you do. And if you are saved, you do have the Holy Spirit. And God commands us as a body of believers that we need to understand the commands and the counsels that are written in the Word of God and that is taking place in the life of the redeemed children of God. They're for you and they're for me. I tell you, while we were away, went and visited a church in Ireland and got a chance to hear the Word of God. But even in traveling in the car one day, we listened to a message. And another evening, we listened to another message. And I want you to know today, I never tire. I love to preach. But I tell you what, it's nice every now and then to listen to somebody else preach and preach to me. I find that when I'm preaching to others, I'm preaching to myself. And I believe today the commands that is given to us in the Word of God are not only for you, but they are for me. They're so personal, they're here for an individual, but even in a corporate sense. Let me show you how Paul is speaking to the church, and not just to individual believers. He's speaking to the church as a whole. In verse number 25, notice he refers to them as the brethren, and he appeals to them for prayer. In verse 26, Paul commands the believers to greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, truly today, that may be the tradition in other places, and you may see that happen, but around here, a good handshake is usually good enough, a good firm handshake. In verse number 27, the epistle reads to all the holy brethren. So the epistle was written to the believers in Thessalonica. It's preserved in the New Testament, and I believe safely today that it applies to you and I individually and cooperatively as a church in order that we might obey God. God has a word for the church in these verses. So the recipients are the Christians at Thessalonica. Those who have been saved, born again with the Spirit of God, and it applies to even you and I. My second and last point, and I'll spend a little bit more time on that, is the word about the requirements that we need in our life if we're going to keep the fire going. We find the truth that is in view of what God expects for us to do and obey on a daily basis. We find here some couplets, if you will. Some of the most short, the shortest verses that you'll find in the Bible is in the context of my scripture and my text this morning. But yet Paul begins to give them to the church cooperatively in order that they might understand the importance of worshiping God. Friend, we're here today not to worship man, but we're here today to worship God and to exalt Him. In verse number 16, he says, "Rejoice evermore." I believe that speaks of giving praise to God. I believe that ought to be a part of every service we have, that we give praise to God and worship Him, even in song. In verse 17, he says, "Pray without ceasing." I think today that every service that we have ought to involve prayer. I tell you, it ought to involve prayer individually before you even come. But I believe it ought to include prayer in the service. We take time. We pray for the offering. We pray for the sick. We pray for the service. We pray for the lost. We pray for the Christian and ask God to do something in their life. So he said, pray without ceasing. In verse number 18, he says, in everything, give thanks. Somebody said, well, November's coming up. We almost time to give thanks again. Friend, I want you to know Thanksgiving is thanks living every day that we live, thanking God for the blessings that He bestowed upon us. And I want to say today, to God be the glory. He's been good to me, and I want to praise His holy name for what He's done. In verse number 19, he says, quench not the Spirit. I tell you, when you think of that again, I remind you that all of us are indwelt by the Spirit. The Bible says Christ ought to have preeminence in our heart. He says, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit of God. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, we'll be led by the Spirit of God. When we're led by the Spirit of God, we will serve God, and we will put Him in the proper place that He needs to be, bar none. In verse number 20, he said, despise not prophesying. Now, back in their time, there were some that had the gift of prophecy, and the gift of prophecy was still active. And before the New Testament was completed, God would speak His word sometimes directly through the gift of prophecy to those who would preach. The word prophecy means foretelling, or as we might think of as forthtelling of things that would come to pass. Friend, today there's no more forthtelling because we have all we need in the Word of God. The Bible said there's nothing to be added to it. There's nothing to be taken away. And if any man does so, then his part is going to be the judgment that God will have upon him. We're not to add to or take away. There's nothing foretelling about the future except what God has already told us in His Word. And so the preacher takes the revealed Word of God, he explains it, he applies it to the church and to the believers, and the Word of God, I believe, is given to God-called men, and God speaks through them to preach the Word of God in order that He might be exalted. In verse number 21, he says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. The Word of God is preached. The church can take what is said alongside the Bible, what it says, you can see what happens and takes place, and it matches the Word of God. We attended last Sunday a church in Dublin, Ireland, and the preacher took the same Bible that I preach out of, and it was a blessing to hear the Word of God being spoken in all places.
You've been listening to part one of Don't Put Out the Fire. Our goal at Victory Baptist Church is to bring others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to encourage them in their Christian growth. Please call or write us if we can help you in your Christian walk. Join us again next week as we conclude this message, Don't Put Out the Fire. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.